Greetings to everyone and happy Sabbath. Let's offer up a prayer and ask Yahweh to bless this service once again. Heavenly Father Yahweh, as we gather today on your set apart Sabbath, we thank you, Father Yahweh, for this day that you've given us to come before you and offer up some praise. Father Yahweh, we hope that these offerings were a blessing to you and Yahshua, and we thank you for the talents that you've given us. And also those of us that we may not have musical talents, we can still enjoy the music, Father Yahweh, and it can lift up our spirits. We thank you for the brothers and sisters that made the trips to come down and visit with us. And we thank you for the awesome blessing that we'll partake of in later in the immersion, Father Yahweh. We thank you for this coming Passover that also reminds us of the history of Israel and what they went through and how you delivered them, and you will deliver us also. We pray that you help us to remain faithful to you and to remember the sacrifice, the shedding of blood that had to take place in order for us to be cleansed from our sins, Father Yahweh. We pray for those that are sick and afflicted now that couldn't be here and that want to keep your feast, and we thank you for the healing of those that we're going through some trials. We pray for the brothers and sisters that gathered all around your world to keep your set-apart Sabbath and those that are preparing to keep your feast and those that are just coming into this truth. We pray that you be with them and comfort them, Father Yahweh. And if we have any doubts, cast them out for us, Father Yahweh. So we pray now, Father Yahweh, that you be with us. Bless your message just like you bless the offerings, and be with the speaker and be with the listeners and help us to learn and to grow. And we just thank you, Father Yahweh. We can't say thank you enough for all the things you've done for us. We ask you all these things, Father Yahweh, in the name of your precious Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't have a title for the message, so I'm just going to go through it and we'll see how it comes out. Maybe Caleb can come up with a title because I was thinking on what to speak on. And I took the topic from a scripture that Brother Randy had read last week, and I wanted to build upon that. So I want to wish a happy Sabbath and welcome to everyone here and those who might be listening online and those who will hear this later, and wish a happy Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread to those who might be listening who I might not get a chance to see. Here's a question. If we set out on a journey, wherever you might be going, and we take the wrong route, will we ever get to our destination? Probably not. If we don't know where we're going, then we need directions. Sometimes, even though we know where we're going, we might miss an exit or make a wrong turn. Then we have to get back on the right path. Most of us in the faith are making plans and we have reservations to the kingdom, and we're learning how to get there. Sometimes, though, we might take wrong turns and get off on the wrong exit, but we're praying and humbling ourselves so that Yahweh and Yahshua continue to keep us on the right path. As the Passover approaches and we made our preparations to keep it, a lot of us here, we got immersed according to Colossians 2:11. And those that were around before Messiah's time, then they would have to go according to Exodus 48. They'd have to get physically circumcised. So we look for the new moon of green ears, according to Deuteronomy 16:1, and so we began to count when the barley was ready. We found our map in the scriptures. It points out how to keep this coming appointed time, where and with who. In Genesis, we see why we should gather on the Sabbath, because we see that Yahweh and Yahshua rested on the Sabbath. And that's why we're here today, resting on the Sabbath and fellowshipping. On the way to Tennessee to keep the Feast of Tabernacles a couple of years ago, besides having a map so I wouldn't get lost, I had to follow some of the other brothers. And since I was the last one, I had to make sure I was watching where I was going so I wouldn't get lost. Since Yahshua is our example, we're followers of him. And to ultimately see him and Yahweh, we had to read about what Yahshua did and how he followed Yahweh. And since we know that Yahshua preexisted and was with Yahweh getting instructed, he plainly understood what Yahweh meant when Yahweh says to us, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And this brings me to the scripture that I want to expound on. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Sometimes I have a tough time thinking of a topic, so you just listen and listen and listen, and maybe you hear a scripture and you want to touch on it. And I'm just hoping that this verse here will open up, you know, what I want to talk about a little bit. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'll just read verses 15 and 16. In verse 16, it says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, and that I command you today to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that Yahweh your Elohim may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it." So we see in verse 15 that, like Deacon Randy spoke last week, he said we had choices. What we sow, we're going to reap. And so we're either going to go one way or we're going to go another. We can't have it both ways. But in verse 16, you'll see that it says in there to walk in his ways. And I was thinking to myself, what does it mean to walk in his ways? I think also we could look in verse 16 in a sense that if we live the way Yahweh says we should, we will have a place in the kingdom. And he's talking to the Israelites here. They're going to enter into the promised land. We, in a sense, are looking for a promised land too. And we haven't seen it. So that's why we're looking for instruction and directions on how to get there, get to the kingdom. To the Israelites in the time of Moses, being delivered out of Egypt and having their own land and being able to worship Yahweh in freedom, to them that must have felt like the kingdom, you know, because being in bondage for so long, here's your chance, you know, to finally get away. You know, that must have been an awesome thing to them. At least, you know, that's my thinking. You know, also in John 13:17, it says there real quick, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." And those are the words of Yahshua the Messiah. So when we're listening to these words are to the Israelites, but they're also for us today in our day and age. And if we know the right thing to do and we do it, then we're blessed. It says you're happy if you do them. Nowadays, people ask us, what is your religion? I don't know, maybe somebody asked you that before. I get that a lot in my new job, you know, because when you tell the bosses you have to take certain days off, they start, you know, quizzing you. And so we might explain a little bit. You get all type of different responses, but the way that I see, it's easy for me. I just cut to the chase. I say, you know what? It's real similar to Messianic Judaism without the man-made traditions. But then I had somebody ask me, what is Judaism? So then that's another story. I have to get into that a little bit. So anyway, most of us, we use the King James translation. So the next question is, how do you come to your comprehension that you should be doing what you're doing? For instance, the Sabbath, the feast days, the clean food laws. Most of us, I think, will say that it's a conviction in our belief and a desire to serve Yahweh. You might go about it a different way, but to me that's kind of, you know, just dry, cut and dry. So Yahweh, he's working with us, and he's giving us directions we need to follow, just like he did to the Israelites. They were wandering in the desert. They were sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and long years in bondage, and Moshe, he could only do so much, leading so many. I mean, you had so many people, and a lot of times they were grumbling. Moshe had to put up with this. So anyway, they had a cloud by day and a pillar by night. And one point that I want to share with some who might know over in Deuteronomy 16, the verse we were just looking at, that phrase there, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, I want to go back a little bit, and you'll see that Abraham kept these things. If you look at Genesis 26:5, it says there that Abraham, he kept all these things. Now, how could Abraham keep all these things when we don't see a lot of the laws that Moshe gave to us? You know, how could he keep those things? But anyway, in Genesis 26:5, we see there that Yahweh is going to bless Isaac, because in verse 5 he says, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. I just looked up some of these words here, and the word for ways in Deuteronomy 30 is 1870. It's custom, course of life. You can find that in the Hebrew. Commandments is 4687. Statutes is 2708. And judgments is 4941. So when you look up the words charge, commandments, statutes, and laws in Genesis 26:5, you'll see that charge is 4931, and it's closely related to judgments, which is figuratively observance or ordinance. Commandments is 4687, and that's a command, whether human or divine, law, ordinance, or precept. Statutes is 2708, a custom, manner, or ordinance. And laws is 8451, precept or statute. And we know that in the New Testament we read about Paul and Yahshua. Their custom was to fellowship on the Sabbath. It's a command, but also when you keep on doing it over and over, it becomes customary, just like coming here and fellowshipping. In Abraham, we see a picture of Yahweh and Yahshua, as we read in the Torah reading. When Abraham was asked to do the unthinkable, and he didn't hesitate, he had faith that Abba would provide. We have faith that the sacrifice Yahshua made was provided by Yahweh. We heard about this in the Torah reading. We see that later on in the time of Moses, the covenant that Yahweh made with Abraham is actually a requirement for males to keep the Passover, even for those who are not from the 12 tribes of Israel. You can read that in Exodus 12:48. And over in John 15:10, I got this written down. You might write it down and look it up for later, but I'll just read it. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we see that even Yahshua was keeping Yahweh's commandments. This is one way that he can be our sacrifice, because he was sinless in what he did. And basically he got his instruction from Yahweh. So we take the instruction from Yahshua, the way that he walked. Over in Exodus 12, we saw there that the Israelites were told to put blood on the doorpost during the time which the death angel passed by them and killed the firstborn males of humans and animals. This was a judgment that Yahweh passed on the Egyptians, which Abraham was told about. And we can read about that in Genesis 15:13-14. And basically what I'm just getting at is that some of these things that Yahweh tells us to do, they don't make sense to us sometimes. And this is why his ways are higher than our ways. And he's teaching us spiritual lessons through physical actions that we do. And he tells us to do these things. So in Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14, it says there, and Elohim said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nations whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. And so Yahweh's talking to Abraham. Maybe this didn't make sense to him. But anyway, he knew ahead of time what was coming. He knew that he was going to have a blessing with Isaac and then with Jacob. And then the nation of Israel was growing so large that the Pharaoh in Egypt, you know, basically took advantage of the situation and made them slaves. Okay, since Yahweh knows that humans like to question things, in Exodus 13, we're told what to tell the children when they ask questions. So let's just go there real quick, because we also, even grown men, we have questions, and we can see this when we do the Bible studies. Even a simple scripture that you might read to one person, it might make sense. To another, it might not make so much sense. So we kind of bounce ideas off each other. Over in Exodus 13 and verses, I like to read 8, and then I'll go over to verse 14. But anyway, we're talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And here it says in verse 8, "And you shall tell your sons on that day, saying, it is because of what Yahweh did for me when I came out of Egypt." And over in verse 14, it says, "And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? Then you shall say to him, with a powerful hand, Yahweh brought us up out of Egypt from the house of slavery." So we see here that what Yahweh told Abraham, you know, came to pass. And the children, they have questions, you know, like when we might keep the Passover now, even some that are not in the faith will come to us and ask us questions. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? You know, like we were saying, they might ask you, what version of Bible do you use? The King James. Oh, really? Well, but where do you get your understanding from? Why are you doing these things? I thought this was Old Testament. But we see that the Spirit of Yahweh, it leads us to Him. And when we're obedient, we get immersed. He gives us a portion. And then we can actually grow even more as we keep the feast. And I know this, it helped me out from personal experience. Standing on the outside looking in, I didn't understand a lot about the feast days, how you count and things. And then when I start observing them myself, I start to get a better understanding. So this actually helps. Anyway, let's jump over to Jeremiah. I want to read from Jeremiah 7. I want to change course a little bit here. Jeremiah chapter 7 is actually a rebuke to Judah, but it's also a rebuke to us, because some people, they worship falsely, and on top of that, they're very proud about it. We know that starting from Adam to Noah and on down to Abraham and Moses, we see that they were to listen to Yahweh's instruction and pass them on down to future generations. And that's how we came to Moses, and that's how we came here to the time of Jeremiah. But the time of Jeremiah was a tough time. You know, he was a prophet, and he had to prophesy to these people who wouldn't listen. And it seems like that's our job now in our day and age. We're helping people, and a lot of people, they don't want to listen. But I'd like to read from some of this chapter. I'll start in verse 1. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, stand in the gate of Yahweh's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all Judah, who enter by these gates to worship Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh the host, the Elohim of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will dwell in this place. I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the alien and the orphan or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other Elohim to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever." We see here that a lot of people, they might go to church, they might go to a synagogue, and a lot of times they're not doing the right things, but they might be proud. Oh, yeah, I'm going to Yahweh's house. Yeah, you know, and we're not practicing right rulings, as the scripture says here. You know, we're doing things that are not right, especially in this nation. We see where it's going. Just if you would have heard Randy's message last week, I mean, the stats that he gave, they're not good. And so we see here that besides Yahweh's Ten Commandments, look at practicing justice between one another, not oppressing the alien, the orphan, or the widow, or shedding innocent blood. This is all part of Yahweh's ways. You know, these things have a purpose. And basically, they're to make us set apart people to walk in a certain way, the same way that Yahshua walked. And some of these words he told to the Pharisees. He says, you're not having judgment. You're not having mercy. You're not having faith either. You're doing the other things, but you're not doing the small things. And we know that a lot of times, the small things are the ones that go a long way. So sometimes the way of Yahweh, they might not make sense to us. Just like when you were kids and your parents told you to do something, it didn't totally make sense to you. But you went ahead and you did it anyway because you want to obey. Let's go back to Genesis 17. We'll just go back to Genesis 17 and we'll look here. 17 and verses 15. We'll just read on down to verse 19. It says there, "Then Elohim said to Abraham, as for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of many nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. But Elohim said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." So here we have Abraham. He was talking to Yahweh and saying, wow, you blessed me greatly, but yeah, here I am, an old man. I don't even have a child, and this servant of mine is going to be my heir. So Yahweh makes him a promise, and I don't think in reality, you know, it didn't seem like he was totally believing it at first, you know, but Yahweh can do this. And one thing that I was asking myself when I was reading this, how can Abraham not believe this when before the flood people were living hundreds of years, and even after being 200-300 years they were having children? But I guess after the flood we saw that the lifespan was less, and so of course for Abraham not to believe it, well, you know, it's understandable. But here's something, you know, it's something that, you know, it's higher than what we think. Yahweh can do this, you know. And a lot of things we know that Yahweh can do, but sometimes we just don't totally have the faith in him. So let's jump over now to Hebrews 11, and we'll go to the faith chapter. I guess I'll be talking a little bit here on faith and how Yahweh's ways are higher than ours, and how, you know, his ways, they lead us to righteousness. And we can see the blessings that we get, especially now in this time where we're going to keep Yahweh's feast. It's an awesome thing. I just, you know, I might not show it, but I'm real excited, you know. Hebrews chapter 11, I like to read verses 1 through 4, 7 through 12, and 17 to 29. So we'll start there. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of Yahweh, so that what is seen was made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to Elohim a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, Elohim testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." So we see here that Abraham had this faith where, you know, he doesn't think, okay, well, come on, Yahweh, I'm 100 years old. You know, can I have a son? You know, he went ahead. He had faith, and Yahweh came through. And so here he is. He's listed in this chapter along with the others. Let's read now verses 7 through 12. "By faith, Noah, being warned about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in a land of promise, as a foreigner, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is Yahweh. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So we see here that we have the same type of faith, because lately we've been talking amongst the brothers to one another, and you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, can we actually prove to people outside the faith that Yahweh exists? Can we prove the creation? We can't actually prove it. You have to take these things in faith. We see these things. The sun comes out every day. The moon comes out. We have rain. It comes down. It can't go back up. The scriptures say this. We have four seasons. And so, you know, we're taking Yahweh at his word. We're reading the scriptures. And we know that there's somebody powerful out there. He's doing things. He's blessing people. And we, in turn, have to turn around and bless him. You know, the least we could do is be obedient. And also, as we acquire more and more knowledge, help others and have patience with others. Because a lot of us, we were in the same place. A lot of us here, we didn't grow up in the faith. And so we can relate to people that come outside the faith. So let's keep on reading here in Hebrews 11. I'll go from verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be blessed. He considered that Yahweh is able to raise even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the passing pleasures of this world. That's one thing that we're doing right now on the Sabbath. We could be out there doing whatever we like, but we rather choose to be here, worshiping and giving honor to Yahweh and to Yahshua. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Okay, so us having faith in Yahweh, we're looking towards his higher ways, as a matter of fact. Because like I said, a lot of things we can't prove. So we take them in faith. And, you know, we always hope that we're doing the best thing for the right reasons. And that Yahweh will bless us. And other people will see this. They see how you walk. They see how you talk. And it piques their curiosity. And some of them, even after a while, you know, they come, they fellowship with us. And they see, you know, how we go about our business. And they say, you know what, there's something there. I'm going to go and investigate some more. You know, and that's a blessing from Yahweh. Yahweh tells us what to do and how to do it so that we may have life and prosper. He expects us to listen, execute righteous judgment, have mercy and faith. This is, like I was saying earlier, what Yahshua said the Pharisees lacked. Let's go over to 2 Peter. I'd like to read from 2 Peter. I hope that these scriptures are speaking for themselves, building on the topic. In 2 Peter, in chapter 1, I'd like to read from verses 1 to 9, but I want to key on mostly verses 5 to 9 here, because it's a message that speaks to us. It says here, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of Yahweh and Savior Yeshua Messiah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua our Master, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and righteousness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in knowledge, self-control. And in self-control, perseverance. And in perseverance, righteousness. And in righteousness, brotherly kindness. And in brotherly kindness, love. For if these are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor fruitful in the true knowledge of our Master, Yeshua the Messiah. For he who lacks these is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. So in a nutshell, we see that he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. We're supposed to be building. You know, and if we have this, then we build, and we add that to it. You know, if we have a little bit of knowledge, then we try to control ourselves, self-control. If we're persevering, then let's add righteousness to that. And then at the end, the most important is going to be love, because why does Yahweh do what he does? Because he loves his people. That's why he does that. So when we look at scriptures, the ways that we can comprehend that we see in the scriptures, let's not make them complicated. You know, I mean, life is hard enough as it is. And the reason why Yahweh's ways are higher is because they lead us to righteousness. And when we walk in his ways, he sanctifies us. Let's go to Exodus 31. We'll see that he does this here when we keep the Sabbath. And we see that in Genesis 2:3, Yahweh sanctified the Sabbath because he was done creating and he rested on that day from creating. Exodus 31 in verses 13 and 17. I like to read this verse sometimes here on Sabbath when I moderate, you know, just to begin our service. Anyway, it says there, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you." And also in verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever, for in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." And if it's a sign, it says there forever, time hasn't ended yet. So basically, we keep on going. So he's still sanctifying us when we keep the Sabbath. And we got to thank, a lot of time we got to thank the Jews for that, because they kept on keeping the Sabbath and the cycle was never broken. And they preserved the scriptures for us. And we know that the Jews have a special blessing from Yahweh. In having faith, we take the scriptures as a whole. We believe that there's penalties for disobedience and blessings for obedience. Yahweh's disdain for sin remains the same. We can read about that in Malachi chapter 3. Yahweh says he don't change. And throughout the scriptures, it's very clear that it's more about than just keeping the Ten Commandments. You can keep the Ten Commandments. The man told Yeshua, "I kept all these commandments." He says, "Okay, you know, you're lacking this. Go and do this." And he couldn't do it. So basically he failed on that. Over in 2 Thessalonians, we can see that besides grace to obtain salvation, salvation also comes through sanctification. And when we're talking about sanctification, it's basically walking in the ways of Yahweh, doing the things that he told us to do, applying the things that we can into our life that are in his word. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And we know that the Apostle Paul, he said that you're saved by grace through faith, right? Not of works. But over in Thessalonians 2:13, he says, "But we should always give thanks to Yahweh for you, brethren, beloved by the Master, because Yahweh has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." And that's where we're at. We're trying to worship Yahweh in spirit and truth. You know, we're not going to a temple and offering sacrifices like they did way back when, the animal sacrifices. Now, we're getting up here and we're giving sacrifices of praise to Yahweh. And I know that he appreciates it, because if even his people appreciate it, I mean, how much more does he appreciate it, you know? And I finally found an instrument I could probably play, the maracas by any I didn't know if that was a proper instrument, but, you know, I gave it to the brothers in St. Lucia, and they used it. So I said, hey, you know, at least I can keep rhythm with the maracas here. So anyway, yeah, we're, you know, learning new talents, things that we can use, things that we can bless one another with, you know. And even if it doesn't sound great, who knows? Yahweh is the judge of that, because we're blessing him, you know, when we offer these sacrifices. Also here in 2 Thessalonians, one thing I noticed, verse 15, look at Shaul says there, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." So we see there that he's talking about the keeping of traditions. And the word there is 3860, which in the Greek means transmission, precept, of ordinance. So way back before Moses, we saw that Adam passed on his knowledge down to his descendants. And then we had Shem, and then we had Noah, and then we had Moses. And finally, Moses went up and received the writings from Yahweh. So even though some of the writings were lost, we still have, through tradition, through the telling of stories, you know, a lot of things contained in the scriptures. We know that there's a scripture that says that the just shall live by faith. The scriptures tell us that Abel, Enoch, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all kept the ways of Yahweh even before the law of Moses. The Sabbath was instituted right after creation. We see that Adam and Eve, they face punishment for sin. And then we read forward in Ezekiel that the soul that sins shall die. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Now, when we do sacrifice, Yahweh tries our hearts, because he wants to see our intentions, why we're doing what we're doing. Let's go real quick to Exodus 13:15. And we read about that in Hebrews 11, that Abel's sacrifice was accepted to Yahweh. It was acceptable, but Cain's wasn't. In Exodus 13:15, it says here, "And it came about when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that Yahweh killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrificed to Yahweh the males, the first offspring of every womb, but every firstborn of my sons I redeem." This is what Abel did. He sacrificed from the firstborn. And then also in Leviticus 3:16, we see that he offered up the best part to Yahweh, the part that we're not supposed to eat. He offered up the fat to Yahweh. Leviticus 3:16 says, "And the priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, as an offering by fire for a soothing aroma. All the fat is Yahweh's. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall not eat fat or any blood." So we're seeing things that were before the law of Moses, then they were given in the law of Moses, and then they were still being kept in the New Testament. So we're seeing here, Yahweh's ways are higher. Yahweh's ways are higher because they're spiritual. We're only physical, so we only understand a certain amount of things. And even still, after Yahshua came and explained a lot of Yahweh's words, to this day they still don't make sense to us, you know? In Matthew 10:19, we see that Yahshua was talking to the rich man, and he tells him the commandments. One of them was, you shall not murder. Cain was found guilty of murder. Now, how did Cain know this? How did he know that murder was wrong? Why was he hiding? And you know that Yahweh is the giver of life, so it's only right he should be the only one to take it. So we see why there's a penalty for taking a life, because life is precious to Yahweh. Through the son of Adam, Seth, we see Enoch, who the scripture says, walk with Elohim. We see that through the line of Seth also came Noah. The scriptures say that Noah found grace way before the New Testament in Genesis 6:8. And it says in verse 9 that he also walked with Elohim. What does it mean to walk with Elohim? You're obviously doing something right if you find grace and you're called righteous in the eyes of Yahweh. He had faith in Yahweh, so he built an ark. Now, did he really understand why he was building an ark? Probably not. Anyway, Yahweh makes a covenant with Noah and says he will never destroy the earth with a flood. And we see a reminder of this every time we look at a rainbow. Over in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, we can read about the laws of the clean and unclean food. And after the flood, Noah took only clean animals and made a sacrifice. Now, why is it that Yahweh only accepts clean animals for a sacrifice? But not only do they have to be clean, they have to be spotless. An animal can be clean to eat, but it might have a blemish. So when you're going to offer it to Yahweh, it has to be spotless. So in our form of worship, he wants our form of worship to be spotless. Over in Genesis 9:4, we see a command not to eat blood. And in Genesis 9:6, again, we see a commandment against murder. And you can find these in Leviticus 3:17 and Acts 15:19 through 21. We see that the apostles were trying to make it easy for the Gentiles to come in, so they only gave them a few commands to keep, because they knew that if they came to the synagogue on Sabbath, as the law of Moses was being read, they were going to get instruction. So they said, let's just put this minimum thing on them so that they won't feel overburdened. And as they learn, they can grow. Also, the commandment of against murder, you find it in Deuteronomy 5:17. So we saw throughout all of these scriptures that you have different laws. And, I mean, there's so many, and especially in the first five books. I mean, it would take us days. You know, it might take us the whole time of the feast just to go through them. But just in Genesis alone, we've seen a lot of the laws that were given to Moses, they were being kept by our forefathers. And I don't know how they went about it. I don't know how their technology was or how their language went about in writing documents. But just by word of mouth, we know that, especially sometimes when we have negative things to say about people, I mean, you just tell one person and everybody will know about it. For some reason, the blessings may take a little longer for people to find out about them. But that's the way it is. Our forefathers preserved a lot of the traditions, the commandments, by word of mouth. And like I said, you know, a lot of things, they don't make sense to us. But that's why the ways are higher, you know. And that's why we have to be in tune with Yahweh's Spirit in order to comprehend it. Because we as fleshly individuals, honestly, how can we understand Yahweh? I mean, we can't even see Yahweh in our physical form the way that we are, you know. I mean, he's so great. He's so awesome. And some of us, we hate sin. But, I mean, when we talk about Yahweh, he really hates sin. And so that's why we're here, to try to clean up our act, clean up our lives, learn more about Yahweh, learn more about his ways, and try to be more spiritual in our daily walk. So in closing, we could go on and on, but we even seen just the basics being kept by the patriarchs. And we see that they were blessed. And in turn, because they were blessed, they passed down those blessings to us. And it was because of the ways of Yahweh through transmission that we got these words. If the Hebrews don't preserve the scriptures, a lot of things we might not know. And that would have been such a shame, because there would have been a lot more chaos than there is now. And just imagine, we're supposed to be a Bible-believing nation, and how come we have so much chaos? So, you know, to comprehend the ways of Yahweh, we need to walk in His ways, just like experience. Somebody tells you, do this. You might say, okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but you haven't done it, so you don't get the concept of it till you do it. And also, when you're being led by His Spirit, as you're more obedient, you get a portion of His Spirit. This helps tremendously. And it says, the scripture says that the Spirit is given to those who obey, not those who disobey. So this is a key thing. For a closing scripture, I like to read Leviticus 18, and I think this basically will make my point. We read in Habakkuk and Romans and Galatians that the just shall live by faith. This was a quote. It was taken from Leviticus chapter 18. And in verses 4 and 5, it's not a word-for-word translation. But it just says here, starting in verse 4, you are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes, to live in accord with them. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live if he does them. I am Yahweh. So let's not forget that, you know, some people might live longer than others, and they might think, well, look, I'm not doing the commandments, but when the judgment comes, he might have a rude awakening. So anyway, shalom to everyone, and Yahweh's blessings be upon you.